Oh, hey, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Today, August 2nd, 2013, and I just want to let you know, I'm sitting outside right now. Too nice of a day to be inside. You might hear some birds, you might hear some bugs, a lawnmower, an airplane. But this is just a little introduction and an announcement. That's really the purpose of today's show, because I'm hoping that by 8:30 p.m. tonight, this will have reached, I don't know, 500, 600, 700, 800 people. And I wanted to let you know that we are resuming, at least for this week, the live show. We usually do it on Thursdays at 6:30. This week, it's going to be Friday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. You can watch by going to schoolsocksproject.com, and then in the main nav bar, you click live show, a little drop down appears, and you then click view stream, and you are on your way to watching us, and you can chat with other viewers, or you can call in and actually participate in the show. And I'm actually down in Connecticut right now, so Richard Grove is going to be my co-host, Richard Grove from tragedyandhope.com, who was in the last show. And I looked at the feedback that has come in, and it was generally very positive, and I really appreciate that. Some people expressed that they might have some questions. There might have been a little incredulity, which is fine, which is actually encouraged. And one listener expressed feeling a little overwhelmed by some of what we went over. And I certainly understand that as well as we venture into new history territory here. Now, I love doing these history shows. As you know, I used to be a history teacher, and something that would motivate me to do more series like that, you know, which usually the last two history series that we did were like 5 or 6 hours each. It's really fun to put something like that together. Send me ideas. You know, if you think there's a historical topic that's very important, but unfortunately, strangely enough, completely overlooked by the government schools, maybe we can dig into it. And I feel really like that's an integral part of what we're doing on School Sucks Podcast. Part of this has to certainly be devoted to the stuff that you're not taught in school. And there is a vast history that we, I mean, I will in the next show. I'm actually working on a little addendum. Somebody sent me an essay. A listener named Cody sent me a very long essay that I read through, and I said, "This is what a find! This is fantastic!" And it's written by a familiar name, a trusted name, I think, in our circle. So I wanted to read it into the record, if you will, to maybe provide not just some history of what we talked about from a slightly different perspective, but also a deeper understanding of some of the economic incentives that were in play as the United States, you know, changed roles in the world, really, at the end of the 19th century and all throughout the 20th century and into the 21st century, of course. Unfortunately, this presentation is just too big of a project for me to finish by my deadline today. And that deadline was determined by my need to inform you about what's going on tonight. I really hope we can get some participation. So anyway, Rich and I will broadcast tonight, we'll stream tonight, rather, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And I hope you'll check us out. And if you do have questions or comments about that last show, you know, don't be shy. So what you're going to hear today is something that we recorded back in June. It is me, Osborne, Gardner Goldsmith, and we're picking apart the MSNBC, really mainstream media treatment of the Snowden NSA story. And this is a video that we actually made that was very successful. It has over 8,000 views, which for a something that was actually taken out of a live recording is very, very good. I'm very, very happy with that. But I realized that there's probably a lot of people who haven't heard it because you said, Brett, I didn't even know you had a YouTube channel. I believe you. I believe that you didn't know that. But we do, and I encourage you to check it out. Our username is School Sucks Podcast, and there's actually a lot of stuff there that doesn't appear in the podcast feed. But here is something that will appear in the podcast feed because I really enjoyed this conversation. It's very light. This was originally recorded and intended to be a part of that series that we just completed. But when all was said and done, it didn't fit in and it didn't feel like it was the right speed. And I was also a little concerned that the window of opportunity, if you will, on the timeliness of this story was going to close and I would just have to leave it as video. But, you know, I'm not going to say fortunately, because it's not fortunate that this story, the persecution of this guy, is still in the news. But, you know, Glenn Greenwald is still fighting, still giving interviews, and this still has a lot of relevance. So I figured it could be included here in the podcast feed. People are still talking about it. And I also think that there's some, you know, analysis of mainstream media trickery that, folks, unfortunately, is kind of timeless. You know, as long as the mainstream media is going to be around, there are some points that are brought up in this discussion that are probably going to be relevant. And until right now, this has only been available on YouTube. People really enjoyed it, so I thought, you know, if you don't have time to sit in front of that old computer and stare at videos all day, especially in the summer, you know, when you should be out rollerblading. All right, everybody, more stuff is coming soon. I hope you'll check us out tonight again at 8:30. Here's the show. We're going to play this whole thing in its entirety so you can capture the essence of this news. Sorry, let me put the camera on myself for a second. News package that MSNBC has put together in an effort to dismiss the NSA Prism leak story regarding Edward Snowden. Here we go.
Okay, let me get this straight. The NSA is a big, scary surveillance monster that knows everything we do. But it didn't know that one of its own contractors was working with Glenn Greenwald on a massive leak about the NSA. Tonight, I'll ask Glenn Greenwald if his own experience is actually evidence that the NSA isn't really so scary.
So this is his big opening, right?
Mr. Prosecuting Attorney.
And, right. And I love how he puts in this supposition that they know everything.
Yeah.
That's his little straw man, that they know everything.
Right. So he does kind of a long lead in here with a series of media clips, and then he'll bring Greenwald in and answer that question. So we'll let it play for a couple minutes.
I'm no different from anybody else. I'm just another guy.
Opposition to the government's sweeping surveillance program now has a public face.
29-year-old Edward Snowden revealed himself.
29-year-old Edward Snowden.
He leaked information about the government's surveillance program.
He's a 29-year-old former technical assistant for the CIA.
Then he goes over to work for this contractor for the NSA.
He landed this job.
And just so you understand, like, the tone of this show, Larry O'Donnell gets the last word.
Always.
On everything. So he shows, here's what everybody else has had to say, which is why he has these montages of media clips. Then I'll let
that,
you know.
That also pepper you with information that he has selected about this guy. 29-year-old janitor, you know.
Yeah. Here's what everybody who doesn't know about this has had to say already.
Over $200,000.
Are his motives pure? I have no idea.
He says he did it because the public needs to know what's going on.
Big breaking news today.
I certainly wasn't shocked by it.
Big breaking news about something we've known for like 7 years.
Is this guy a criminal or is he a whistleblower?
He's not a whistleblower.
Do you think he has credibility as a whistleblower?
You don't break the law, steal documents, and then make a run for the border.
I can tell you this. These programs are within the law.
Aren't all the programs that have been revealed legal?
The damage these revelations incur are huge.
This is U.S. policy. You may disagree with it.
I'm no different from anybody else. I'm just another guy.
The law was broken by one person, who was Mr. Snowden.
Snowden's treatment may rest on public perception.
Glenn Greenwald continues to break news about the National Security Agency, and he will join me in a moment. But first, the shocker of the weekend was the secret leaker in the NSA story broke the mold for leakers and decided to go public.
My name's Ed Snowden. I'm 29 years old. I work for Booz Allen Hamilton as an infrastructure analyst for NSA in Hawaii.
Edward Snowden spent his first years in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and then his family moved to Maryland when he was 9 years old. He has an unusual background for someone in a position of trust in the intelligence community. He was a high school dropout, but he did it.
Hold on to that one, too, okay, because that's coming back.
Obtain a GED. He spent less than a year in the Army Reserves. Snowden says he was discharged after breaking his legs in a training accident. He first worked for the NSA as a security guard. He then got an information technology job with the CIA. According to The Guardian, Snowden worked at the NSA for the last 4 years as an employee of various outside contractors, including Dell and Booz Allen Hamilton, where he last made about $200,000 a year. This is the way Edward Snowden
is. Wait a minute. Can we just go back? Now, this is a trick that the media often uses, and I recommend that if you haven't seen it, people check out this School Sucks video, Media Manipulation on Gun Control, where we talk about some of the other aspects to a television presentation that are often absorbed but not always recognized. When the gun control debate was happening, Piers Morgan and his production team, as these debates heated up, the on-screen graphic would say something like, 20 killed in Newtown. And then they would show footage that they had as they're having the debate about gun control of the police and rescue workers arriving on the scene at the elementary school. So that's an incredibly powerful, but at the same time, subtle juxtaposition of, like, here's a debate, right? Like, should we really be having a debate when you're absorbing these visuals at the same time?
Very distracting, giving you alternate information.
So they take advantage of that. I mean, let's see. Here they put up a final bio on the screen of Edward Snowden. Number one, did not finish high school. Number two, discharged from Army. Three, worked as a security guard for NSA, hired by CIA, earned $200,000 with Booz Allen Hamilton. Maybe just a...
Squeak that in. What are his motives? We already had that in the little montage that we put together. Why would he be doing this?
So here we go.
4 years as an employee of various outside contractors, including Dell and Booz Allen Hamilton, where he last made about $200,000 a year. This is the way Edward Snowden described why he decided to leak NSA material.
When you're in positions of privileged access, like a systems administrator for these sort of intelligence community agencies, you're exposed to a lot more information on a broader scale than the average employee. And because of that, you see things that may be disturbing, but over the course of a normal person's career, you'd only see one or two of these instances. When you see everything, you see them on a more frequent basis, and you recognize that some of these things are actually abuses. And when you talk to people about them in a place like this where this is the normal state of business, people tend not to take them very seriously and, you know, move on from them. But over time, that awareness of wrongdoing sort of builds up and you feel compelled to talk about it. And the more you talk about it, the more you're ignored, the more you're told it's not a problem. Until eventually you realize that these things need to be determined by the public, not by somebody who was simply hired by the government.
Now, at this point, Gardner, he has tried to lay out the background knowledge that he feels you should have before proceeding with this story.
Right.
Do you think that he's done an adequate job, a poor job? Because, I mean, he has brought a lot of stuff together here, but I know you've been looking into this.
He's done an absolutely beautiful job if he wants to focus on the man rather than what the man has reported. If he wants to raise questions about the man's activities and whether or not those comport to being a good citizen within the context of the nation state.
Yeah.
Especially the nation state that this guy, Lawrence O'Donnell, really loves to kiss the ass of.
Right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He loves it. This guy is the biggest rump swab I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And he has done nothing to actually explain what's really at stake.
Yeah.
Has done nothing to say, here are the claims this guy made. Here is what seems to be the reality. And nothing to offer. What I think would be nice was, are you worried about this? And where do we go from here?
Okay.
So yeah, I think he's done a great job in setting things up if you want to support the state and put this guy in as the focus and the question of the whole thing, which is not the point.
To take it to the man.
It's the information that he released, exactly. And they're addressing the guy who released it.
Because with the kill the messenger approach or the character assassination approach, which is something that you're going to get into, you don't have to go through a whole series of complex and for some people, very compelling ideas and information. Yeah. You only have to destroy one man.
Exactly, and he's already posed a bunch of questions. As you pointed out, that freeze frame that you did was really, really spot on, because that's exactly what this guy's doing. And I don't think Lawrence O'Donnell goes through that with any sort of strategic methodology.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just his nature to do it that way. To say, this guy, I don't like what this guy's done, so I'm going to go after this guy.
Right.
So he's already, his assumptions are already there. I don't know. I don't think that he's doing it with any sort of, you know, intent. I just think it's his, you know, sort of sad way to stumble into the party already drunk.
He's from Southie, you know.
Yeah.
He's a brawler.
Yeah, he
threatened to punch Mitt Romney's son.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. He's a... But the setup here at this point, I mean, how far into the video are we?
We're 3 minutes.
We're almost a third of the way into it, a little less than a third of the way into it. And what he's established is, look, I provided all the information that you need to know to have sufficient background knowledge about this subject, on top of which we will build the debate.
Right.
Which is really on very shaky ground that he is still able to control try to control.
Right, and the great thing is, you know, coming from a context of having listened to your podcast earlier today, with this massive history of all this stuff, and this being the most current wrinkle in this, you know, sad, sorry, ugly face of the state,
mm-hmm.
is that he's about to bring Glenn Greenwald on, and Glenn Greenwald is completely on top of all of this history.
Yes.
Glenn Greenwald's knowledge of this is voluminous, you know? And they're two totally different. He's talking to an alien creature. He doesn't get it.
It's really it's beautiful. I'm a straight man, and I would propose to Glenn Greenwald based on this presentation.
I would go gay for Glenn.
Yeah, he's really
GGG.
He's so fantastic. All right, so here we go.
Here's how Snowden described what the NSA actually does.
NSA and the intelligence community in general is focused on getting intelligence wherever it can, by any means possible, that it believes on the grounds of sort of a self-certification, that they serve the national interest. Originally, we saw that focus very narrowly tailored as foreign intelligence gathered overseas. Now, increasingly, we see that it's happening domestically. And to do that, the NSA specifically targets the communications of everyone. It ingests them by default. It collects them in its system, and it filters them, and it analyzes them, and it measures them, and it stores them for periods of time, simply because that's the easiest, most efficient, and most valuable way to achieve these ends.
Joining me now from Hong Kong, The Guardian's Glenn Greenwald, who broke this story. Glenn, I've been wondering, as the story's developed, that given that the NSA, as you're portraying it, knows everything, sees everything, how is it in that environment that you were able to communicate internationally over a period of time with someone working as a contractor for the NSA right under their noses? I mean, isn't what you've pulled off here, this successful leak, evidence that the NSA really doesn't know everything that we are suggesting it knows?
Gotcha, Glenn. I gotcha. Look at the look on his face. Oh, that's going to be...
What a smug mug.
I'm going to screenshot this video and put pictures in the show notes, because that is like, you look up smug in the dictionary. All right, so number one, this is the opening approach, Lawrence O'Donnell's first swing at this. The NSA isn't so scary, and he's trying to undermine the relevance of the whole story, as I said earlier. So he's certainly asking a loaded question. He's also committing the fallacy, saying that basically the argument can be thrown out because Glenn Greenwald has committed this tragic, just devastating to his case, fallacy that the NSA knows everything. Personal incredulity, right? That's another kind of logical fallacy.
Perfectly.
I could believe this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I mentioned before the either-or or excluded middle fallacy. And it's kind of also like some pretty sloppy inductive reasoning. Are you familiar with composition?
Yeah.
To say if
absolutely.
You set...
He's seeing one example. Yes, right. That's absolutely right.
So you say, if the NSA didn't know this...
They
can't
aren't doing
know
all the other stuff.
Everything.
Absolutely.
So kind of broadening it to the big picture. So if they don't know this one little thing,
right,
they can't certainly know all these other things in the bigger picture.
And inductive reasoning can be useful sometimes, but not useful for Larry O'Donnell.
Right. So let's see if Glenn Greenwald runs away crying.
Unfortunately, I wish that were true, Lawrence. Unfortunately, it isn't. When he first contacted me back in February, the first thing that he insisted that I do was to install extremely sophisticated encryption technology that would allow us to communicate via email and online chat. One of the very few ways that makes it difficult for the NSA to intervene in communications. You have to have a very high level of sophistication to be able to do that, to operate it, something I certainly don't have. And it actually delayed for quite some time our ability to communicate. So if you go to extreme lengths that the world's greatest programmers and cryptologist experts have in order to install and figure out how to do programming, maybe you can stay a step ahead of the NSA for some time. But anyone who isn't doing that is going to have their communications monitored and stored. And that's the only way that he would end up talking to me and did end up talking to me.
Okay.
Okay, well...
Let's try something different. All right. So now that that has not been terribly successful, we'll shift to character assassination. We'll take it to the man, Snowden. I think he'll end up taking it to Greenwald a little bit as well.
Yeah.
I love the look on his face, too, because he's like, I'm so excited by how dumb you are.
Yeah.
Because you're giving me...
I'm just going to give you...
The perfect platform to express all this
stuff.
It's
great. Oh, and can I just mention, as you go into this, you know, sometimes I go into these high school classes. We've been communicating this sometimes. And I'm there on a panel with Democrats and conservative Republicans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And invariably... What I find is that almost every one of them, especially on the left-wing statist side, says, well, Gardner will tell you this. And then they go, so they set up the straw dog of what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And then they set up their own argument with what they imagine I'm going to say. Just what O'Donnell did. Well, oh, they know everything. This is what you're saying. And he actually said, well, according to your argument, this is what they all know. And this happens all the time to people who are actually trying to address a real point. The other people will misconstrue their point and then try to make an argument that has nothing to do with it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The straw man argument.
Yeah.
The NSA's hiring and contracting practices, clearly they would not have wanted Snowden working for them if they knew then what they know now about him. And obviously they're not really screening who gets to work close to this material very closely.
Well, I mean, I'm not so sure that's true. If you look at his history, I mean, he's exactly the kind of person that you would want working for you if you're in the intelligence community. The first thing that he did after he didn't complete high school, but would have completed high school, was he enlisted in army training to join the special forces to go fight in the Iraq war because he thought that war was so noble and that he was quickly disabused of that belief. But he then went to work for the NSA and the CIA after that. He had, you know, devoted himself to serving his country. And it was only over time when he began to realize just how pervasive this surveillance state is, how secretive it is, how without accountability it is, did he start gradually having his eyes opened about what this national security apparatus really does and felt compelled to step forward and do something about it. But that is the key. When you have the sprawling system, and there are 20,000 employees at the NSA, but many other tens of thousands working for private contractors, collecting enormous amounts of data, it's an unaccountable, uncontrollable system. You're going to give access to huge numbers of people to the most sensitive communications data and other forms of information about people. There's no way to prevent abuse. That's one of the lessons here.
And he's kind of low level. I mean, I'm reading what he told
Watch
you
the
about
language
what he did there.
That he will continuously use this phrase. He's an IT guy, right?
Yeah.
He's low level. And this is, what do we call this? The genetic fallacy, where something is unreliable. It's like saying
he couldn't be capable.
Oh, this was huge, by the way, during like World War One. Something is bad if it comes from Germany.
Uh-huh.
So let's call German toast French toast from now on. But the idea is like, I don't want to buy something that was made in Japan. You ever met a Japanese person? Genetic fallacy,
yes,
essentially, that something is bad or defective because of where it comes from. So if we can drop this guy down, he can lower Snowden down enough to be able to commit this genetic fallacy that he wasn't at a place where we could really think that any information that he has is worth listening to. Unfortunately, this is a joke that only the four of us can enjoy. But in this frame, freeze frame, it appears that Glenn has actually become high off Lawrence's stupidity, which is interesting. But this is an interesting thing. Like, have you ever talked to somebody in like real life who made so little sense that you find yourself like spacing out and almost becoming like dizzy from listening to them?
Yeah.
Every one of his titles, Glenn, is simply a technical. He's an IT guy. He says he's a systems engineer. Then he was a systems administrator, senior advisor for solutions, and a telecommunications information systems officer. But at the same time, as giving you a bio that's basically an IT guy, he claimed to have very powerful authority. Let's listen to what authority he claimed he had.
I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone, from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president, if I had a personal email.
Now, Glenn, he does not mean, does he, that he had the legal authority to do that. He is simply saying...
This is a clever setup, okay? And again, we see the word legal coming into this. So pay close attention, folks. Don't get hypnotized by Larry here.
Because I had IT access, I could get into anything I wanted to get into, much like, say, people working in the IRS used to be able to just look at your tax return if they felt like it, even though they were not authorized to do it. The IRS has since controlled that. But he's not saying he in any way could legally, possibly, been given that authority by anyone at the NSA to look at President Obama's email.
Precisely, Orange. I mean, and you're making the important point, and it's the point that he's making. It's the point that he wants everyone to understand, which is that even though he is a relatively low level, not even an employee of the NSA, private contractor, he has been given, by authority, he means he's authorized to access these databases and these technologies, and that there are tens of thousands of people in the NSA who are not accountable, who are authorized to do the same. Everyone should go right now who's listening, go onto Google and email. And Google 2008 ABC News NSA abuse. And you will find stories there about low-level NSA analysts who abused these technologies to listen in on the conversations that soldiers were having with their girlfriends, that people they knew were having with one another internationally. It is a system that is begging for abuse. Because it's all in secrecy, we don't really know what it is that it's doing. But his point is that this apparatus is sucking up every communication, every telephone call, every email, so that at any time, any of these people at these terminals can go in and invade these conversations because it doesn't have sufficient oversight, and it's ubiquitous, the surveillance that they're doing.
But Glenn, I don't think we can attack a system's mission because someone working in that system, like Snowden, is willing to actually violate the rules of the system.
Bingo. There it is.
Man, okay? There you go.
So that's why that's what that setup
the
was
whole
all
setup.
About. And,
right.
and Larry had to sit there and kind of squirm back and forth in his chair waiting
until
for Glenn
actually,
to finish with
yes.
the facts part
right.
so he could get this in, right?
I don't really care.
So what he's decided to do after strike two is just double down on character assassination.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, where now he's slid out basically the reality and inserted his own reality into the situation where this guy is a rule breaker.
He's the one. It's not the problem is him.
Right.
It's not the system.
So it didn't work. What did he do before the low level stuff? I felt like there was. The high school dropout, you know, like that kind of thing. But then the low level stuff, and now it's like I think he's a rule breaking criminal.
Right. He was just this and just that.
Right. This is very, very clever, and I think most of this must go completely unnoticed. with his viewers, right? Because it is kind of subtle. You do have to be looking
for it. You have to give him credit for trying, or at least scrambling.
Right.
For example, my bank. There are people working at my bank who can go and look at exactly what's going on in every one of my bank accounts whenever they feel like it, because they just saw me on TV and they said, I wonder how much money he has in checking. They can go do that. They're not supposed to. It doesn't mean that my bank is a bad bank because someone working there violates the rules.
There it is again. Yeah.
Thing with everything else that private companies like Gmail, for example, anybody working at the email facilities at Google, all these places, they can go look at the people's email who are writing those email if they want to, if they want to break the rules and do that.
Right. Well, first of all, he didn't actually break the rules. He didn't say that he has gone in and invaded other people's communications that he shouldn't have been looking. He was making the point that he had the ability to do so as a way of warning us. But I think that your question raises the important point. Look, I mean, we have to have a banking system. We have to have email. We don't have to have a government that is collecting all of this information about us. This is a choice that we have as citizens about whether we want the government to be doing this. We have a history in this country that we can look to. Go and look at the Church Committee report of the mid-1970s, with which I know that you're obviously familiar. And what it found is that when you empower politicians and law enforcement officials to gather massive amounts of information about people and don't provide sufficient transparency and oversight to how they're using it, they will abuse it. It's J. Edgar Hoover's FBI followed Martin Luther King around, read his mail, listened to his conversations, found out about what they thought were adulterous relationships, and tried to use it to discredit him and even encourage him to commit suicide. What he's trying to say is that we should be debating whether we want to have a government that is in the business of collecting huge amounts of extremely invasive information about not terrorists or people suspected of wrongdoing, but all Americans, and think about the potential for abuse that has, the inevitability of abuse that has. And even if you're right, Lawrence, at the end of the day, that we decide we do want that, at the very least, we should have way more transparency and checks and accountability on how this is done and what is being done, which is the reason that we decided to write these stories, so that we could start a debate and make Americans aware of what this apparatus is actually doing.
Yeah, I mean,
at this point.
Yeah. I mean,
number four is I give up.
Yeah,
it really is very simply I give up. But
Glenn, my feeling so far is in everything, and I've been slow to react to it because I want to take in as much as possible, but so far, I'm not scared. So far, I haven't heard a single thing about what the government has collected on me that isn't also collected by a bunch of private companies, and the fact that the government is collecting it at such a gigantic, massive level means that it's even harder for the government to find me in this giant amount of data that they have, and they have absolutely no incentive to find me. And so I at this stage feel completely unthreatened by this. I understand every point you're making on principle. I get the principle, and my reaction to it in the practice is I am at this point unthreatened by it.
So I don't care. He doesn't care.
Exactly.
Right. That's it. Oh, I get what you're saying. Absolutely.
So over the course of that interview, I mean, and this is always the way, when one person has information and the other person doesn't, you know, they have an ideology, you see a retreat.
Oh, perfectly safe. That's great. Absolutely.
So he comes out swinging, right? Strike one, strike two, strike three. I'm taking my ball and going home.
Bye, Johnny.